Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Pesachim Daf Nun Beis. We begin on Nun Beis Amud Aleph, three lines from the top with the words Rav Nosson Bar Asya. Now, if you remember yesterday, we were discussing in the Shir the halachos of a person who's going to a place that they observe 2 days of Yontif, but he knows the right day, Kriya Diyarcha. So we segue into this discussion now. Rav Nosson Bar Asya, he was a Talmud Chacham, Ozal Mi Bei Rav LePumpedisa. He went from the Beis Medrash of Rav, and he went to Pumpedisa, which is more than the distance of either the Tchum, or he traveled on Yontif Sheni Shel Atzeres, on the second day of Shavuos, so he transgressed the mitzvah of Yontif Sheni Shel Golias of Shavuos. Now, Shamte Rav Yosef, his Rebbe Rav Yosef, put him into Cheirim. Shamta is a type of Cheirim. Omle Abaye said to Rav Yosef, how come? Why didn't you give him Malkus instead? Ulenagde Mar Nagide. Why didn't the master, Rav Yosef, the Rebbe, why didn't you go and give him lashes rather than giving him a Shamta, putting him in excommunication? So Amalei, Rav Yosef tells Abaye, I did better. Adifa of delay. I did, as Rashi says, Hachamura Bimena. I did something even more severe. I was very, very upset that this Talmud Chacham went and transgressed Yontif Sheni Shogolis in public. And this would be a terrible thing if people saw that and we didn't take strong measures. So therefore, I took a very strong measure and instead of giving him lashes, I actually put him into Shamta, into this excommunication, which is more strict. The Mevarova Mimnu in Eretz Yisrael, they declared, Anagida Devar Beirav, that it would be preferable to go and give lashes to a Talmud Chacham rather than to put him into Cheirim, because that's less of a severe punishment, and we don't want to give the Talmidei Chacham such severe punishments. Below Mimnu Ashamta, but don't put him into this Cheirim, into this Shamta, this excommunication. So therefore, I chose here to give him the stricter punishment, even though in general we give them the lighter punishment. Alternatively, the exact opposite. Ika di Amre, others said that Nagde Rav Yosef, not that he put him into Shamta, the Rav Yosef gave him Malkus. Now, Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, why didn't the Rebbe put him into Cheirim? The exact opposite. Nishamte Mar, why didn't the Rebbe put him into Cheirim? The Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Tavai, because both Rabbi Shmuel said that Midnaden, we put people into Nidui. Nidui is, again, the different words for Cheirim. You have Shamta, Nidui, Cheirim. So there are different levels of excommunication. We'll use them for now interchangeably, but they're not interchangeable. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Tavai, they both said that we put into Nidui, Midnaden, if somebody goes and transgresses Ashnei Yom Tov Shogolias, that's a very, very, very bad thing, because people are going to see this, and then they'll deal lightly with Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, which is a very strict thing not to do that. So therefore, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, why did the Rebbe, Rav Yosef, give a much lower punishment, the Malkus, rather than the stricter punishment of Shamta? So Rav Yosef responds, Amalei, Hani Mili Dinish Dama. Where did the Rabbi say that you should go give the stricter punishment, that you should be Menade, that's only for regular people? But here, Hocha Tzuvim Rabbanon Hu, the Tovalei Avdei, and it's better that I do it this way. I'm doing him a favor by not giving him the stricter punishment, because the Marava Mimnu, because as we just pointed out before, in Eretz Yisrael they said, Anegidsa the Bar Beirav, below Mimnu Ashamta, that it would be preferable to give a Talmud Chacham lashes rather than the stricter Shamta, than to put him into Cheirim. So therefore, I chose to give him the lighter punishment over here. That would be enough to deter people from taking Yontif Sheni Shel Golias slightly, but since he's a Talmud Chacham, I didn't want to give him the stricter excommunication. So again, both different versions as to which one he actually gave him. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah. Kayotzi Bo, we said in the Mishnah, Hamolich Perush Shvias V'chulei. We had the opinion of the Tanakhama the Chachamim that said if a person were to go and take the Shemitah crops, Mimakum Shekalu, Lemakum Shlokalu, from a place where they had been finished off and you had the obligation to do beer to get rid of those Shemitah crops, to a place, Lemakum Shlokalu, or vice versa, O Mimakum Shlokalu, from a place where it wasn't completed, Lemakum Shekalu. So the Tanakhama said, Chayelubai, you have to go and do this beer. And Yehuda said, no, Tsei Bahave Loch Avat. He says, you can go as well. Now, what exactly is Rav Yehuda saying? We'll have several different interpretations of what Rav Yehuda said back to the Chacham and the Tanakhama. So on the surface, the Gemara says, it looks like Rav Yehuda is disagreeing with this concept that you should take upon yourself the chumras of the place that you came from, as well as the place that you're going to. So the Gemara questions is, that's highly unlikely that anybody would disagree with that. The less Leila Rav Yehuda, does Rav Yehuda really disagree with our Mishnah, where it says, Nosim l'chumri amokum shiotzi misham, l'chumri amokum shahalach l'sham? Does anybody really disagree with this concept that one should be very careful with both the chumras from the place that you came from, as well as the chumras of the place that you're going to? Unlikely. So what is Rav Yehuda saying when he says that you could get it yourself also? So we have several interpretations. The first one is Amar Rav Shisha Brei the Ravidi. Rav Shisha Brei the Ravidi says, Milsa Achrite Kamar Rav Yehuda V'Hochi Kamar. He said something else, and this is what he said. You misunderstood it. This is the way you have to understand Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana, in response to the Tanakama, the Chacham Menor Mishnah. When it says, Omi makum shelo kalu, when a person went from a place where the Shemitah crops had not yet been finished, lemakum shelo kalu, to a place where the Shemitah crops had not been finished, and then when he's in this new place, vishama shekalu bimkomo, he hears that the original place where he came from, his original town, no longer has that crop. So Chayiv Levar, the Tanakhama says, in that situation, you go like the chumra of the place that you come from, and you have to be mavar that crop, even though in the place that you're at right now, they still have plenty of this crop around. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, no. You yourself can also get it. The same place that I gave it, you can get it too. It's not gone from over here. So why do I have to treat this with a stringency from the place that I came from? So Rav Yehuda is much more meikel than the Chacham and the Tanakama. And more questions that. L'neimra, according to this understanding, Rosh Hashanah Brei Ravidi, Rav Yehuda l'kul l'kamar. Rav Yehuda is making a lenient statement, a more cooler statement than the Chacham and the Tanakama. But V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said that l'om Rav Yehuda el l'chumra, that Rav Yehuda's statement is a chumra. So it doesn't jibe, obviously, with this statement of Rabbi Elazar. Rashi points out, Hachi habi gomer lo Rabbi Elazar mirabe. This is what Rabbi Elazar had learned from his Rebbe, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar l'chumra. And he's quoting his Rebbe to say that no, we know for a fact that Rabbi Yehuda is being more machmir than the Tanakama. So this doesn't jibe with the interpretation of Rashi Shabri the Ravidi. Gemara says, you're right, El Eifel. So switch everything around. Let Rabbi Yehuda be the more machmir opinion and the Tanakama be the more lenient opinion. Just switch around the two attributions that we just said. El Eifel. Eino chayev levar is what the Tanakama said. And therefore, the person coming from a place where now it's no longer present, but it was present at that time, going to a place where it's still present, so he doesn't have to go and burn it. Ein chayv levar, and on that, Rav Yehuda Omer, you could also go get it. And since it isn't present over there, so therefore you have to be stricter. Oh, so that's why Rav Yehuda is stricter. That's the first teretz, and that is the opinion. Then when you flip it around, if you say like Rabbi Elazar, who said the name of his Rabbi, that Rav Shisha Brei the Ravidi must be that Rav Yehuda is more machmir, so this is the way to learn Rav Shisha Brei the Ravidi. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Abai Amar, Liolom Kidikatani. No, it's like we originally thought. Rashi explains, it means Delo Ayri Masnisin Bevei Mimevi Mimikomo Lemoko Mashovlo. It's not talking about where he brings it from his previous place where he lived and now is in this new place. And in both places, it was present originally. And now it's only in his original place, it's no longer present. He says, no. Elamokum she'en shalo. He's talking about that he brought it to a place where it's different than in his original place. What does that mean? So, v'hochi kamar. This is what Abai says, Rabbi Yehuda is saying. So the Mishnah starts off, the Tanakhama and says, O mimokum shelo kolu lemokum shekolu. The Tanakhama is saying, if you bring it from a place where it still is around, and you go to a place where it's no longer around. And now, and you bring it back to your original place, and it's still present there. So the item was present in the original place, you then took it out from that original place, brought it to a place where it's not present, and now you bring it back to the original place where it's still present. So in that situation, the Tanakhama says, the Chachamim say, no problem, because it's present in that place that you are, and anybody can go and use it. So therefore, you don't have to go and have any chumra that it has to be burnt, has to be taken out, labir. On that, Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, "Say v'havelucha avata mehechad aysinu v'hakolulu." He says, "You know what happened over here? It no longer is present in the place that we brought it to. So again, the original place has it, and it still has it. But now you brought it to the second place, and in the second place, it's kolu. It's not around. So just by being in the second place, it's halachically, according to Rav Yehuda, considered like it's a place shekolu." Then it's no longer around. And therefore, even though you bring it back to a place that it's low, Kalu, Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to go and do biur. Maskev l'Ravashi, Ravashi says, I don't understand that. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, according to you, atu agabo de chamora kaltinu? What? By going there by a donkey, and you put it on the back of the donkey, that's like replanting it, or that's like putting it in the ground and planting it? That's ridiculous. It's the back of the donkey that it's on, that shouldn't change around its halachic status. So what if you're in place B, you're in the second place, and that place doesn't have it, but now you're back in place A? So Rav Ashi doesn't like the understanding that we just had of Abaye. And therefore he says as follows, Elom Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, this is how you have to understand it. The following is actually a machlokes that the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, Pepluksu Dahani Tani, that these two Manda Omars, the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, are actually arguing about the following Tanoim, the same Machlokis that we have in the Mishnah in Shvius. Now, what does that Mishnah say? It's not. It says in the Mishnah in Shvius, HaKovesh Shlosho Kivoshim B'chovas Achas. They would go and store the vegetables, and they would pickle them so they would last for a long period of time. And they would store these vegetables in a container. So what happens if somebody pickled three different vegetables in one container? So that's the scenario of the Mishnah. We have three different opinions. The first opinion is Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ochlin al Rishon. You are only allowed to eat these three in the Shemitah year as long as all three of them are present. As soon as one of them is kalu, as soon as one of them is gone, so then they all absorb from each other, and they're all considered like that one that's no longer present, and therefore you have to get rid of it. So even the second and the third type of fruits that are in this jar, they all have to be considered like kalu. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Yeshua says the exact opposite, the most makel opinion. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no, afalo achron. As long as one of the three is still present, everything is good. As Rashi points out, al smach min hakolo achron, you can rely upon the fact that one of the three is still around, and you can eat all three. Even though the other two are gone, nevertheless, Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehoshua's sheet is that you can still eat all three. And therefore, we'll see that Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is the most makel opinion. That's going to be like the Tanakama. Our Tanakama in our Mishnah says, like Rabbi Yehoshua, that as long as there's something around, you can go and eat it. And along comes Rabbi Gamliel, or Gamliel Omer, no, each one is treated individually. Why are you mixing them together? If one of the three is gone, so that one can't be eaten, but the other two are still around, they can be eaten. If two of them are gone, so those two can't be eaten, but the third one still be eaten. And the Mishnah continues, and the Gemara says, Halacha Kidvarov, we paskin like this opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Now Rashi explains, this Shita of Rabbi Gamliel is Rabbi Yehuda, our Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah. He says, Say, Bahavi Lucha Avatam, Yosu Amin. If you want to, you can go get this, it's still around. So by all means, go and get this type of Shemitah fruit or vegetable, and go and take it. Min HaTzadeh, from the field. If it's not around, so then you can't go and get it. If it is around, you can't go and get it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, for the one that is gone, you can't go and get it. So Rav Ashi is suggesting that this machlokis in the Mishnah in Shavuos is actually the machlokis in our Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. That's another teretz. We have a third teretz. Ravina Amar, Bepluks of Dahani Tanoi, that this machlokis between the Tanakam and reviewed in our Mishnah is in parallel to the following machlokis Tanoim that we have. Now, we have the Girsa Ditnam, which we always use when we're referring to a Mishnah, but there is no such Mishnah, so the Rashash changes this and says it should be Ditanya. In any event, this machlokis Tanoim in the Brisa is paralleling all machlokis in the Mishnah between the Chachamim, the Tanakam, and Rabbi Yehuda. What is this machlokis in this Brisa? Ditanya. Instead of the Tanan, Ochlin b'tmorim, a person is allowed to eat tmorim any place in Yehuda. As we will see in the Gemara, Eretz Yisrael is broken up into three regions. You have Yehuda, which refers to the middle region of the country. You have the Galil, the upper region of the country. And then you have the Ever Yarden, which refers to the Transjordan, the other side of the Yarden. Now, these three regions have a lot of halachic ramifications that the Braisa and the Gemara will then talk about. So we start off in saying that if you're eating tmorim, now this is in the Shemitah year, so tmorim are dates. So you're allowed to keep on eating dates as long as there are still some dates, at sheichla achron shebitzoar, until the last dates are gone from the fields in Soar, which is a place within Yehuda, which Rashi points out is known as the Ir HaTmorim. They were famous for their dates, and it is one section of the three sections within Yehuda. As we'll see, Yehuda has three sections, the Galil has three sections, and the Ever Yarden has three sections. Now, the Tanakama over here in this price, it says that as long as there are dates still any place in Yehuda, those are the dates that are the sturdiest, those are the last ones to be going plucked and taken off the trees, so then in this situation you can still eat dates anywhere in Yehuda. That's the Tanakama's opinion in this price. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, on the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, and we turn to the Amud Beis, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, Ochlin al Shebeis HaKipin. However, ve'ein ochlin al shebein hashitzen. You're allowed to go and eat dates anywhere in Yehuda as long as you still have dates in the kippin. The kippin is a reference to the branches of the tree. When the dates fall off the tree, they get stuck up in the top branches. So those are still accessible to the animals and the birds. However, if they fall down to the bottom, which is known as the shitzen, these are like the thorny part at the bottom of the of the tree, so it's very difficult for the animals to reach them. As we will see in the Gemara, the definition of kalu basadeh, that it's no longer present in the field, is if the animals can't get it. So the animals can get it in the upper branches, but they can't get it when it's in the thorns at the base of the tree. So therefore, Rabban Shimon Gamliel says that it's dependent on whether they're in the keepin still, but if they're only in the sheets, then it's too late. Now, let us say that this machlokus between our Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is this machlokus between Rabban Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama of his Braisa. We can align both Tanakamas one with the other. The Tanakama and the Braisa says you can eat them any place in Yehuda as long as you have some. So too, the Tanakama of our Mishnah says that you can eat them as long as they're present. And along comes Rav Shimon Gamliel and says, no, only when they're present in the keepin, but not if they're present only in the sheetzin, then you can't eat it anymore. And that too, Rav Yehuda says, they're no longer present, if kalu, so then you can't eat them. So this is Ravina's Teretz. Mor says, Sinan Hasam, we learned in another Mishnah in Shviyas, it says, that's what we had referred to before, Shalosh Arotzos Labir, that in regards to the Shemitah, we divide up Eretz Yisrael into three areas, three regions, as we pointed out, Yehuda, Vever, Yardin, Vegolil, these three regions, and each of them is separated into three sub-regions, V'Shalosh Arotzos, V'Cholachas, Yachas. This is the way Rashi understands, is that each of them has a separate sub-region, and we view them all together, V'Lam, Omru, Shalosh Arotzos Labir, and why do we say that there are these three regions in regards to the beer, Yehuda, Eber, Yavdin, and the Galil. So he explains, Shiyu, Ochlin, B'chol, Achas, V'yachas. You're allowed to still go and eat within any of these regions as long as it's still present, Ad Sheyichalo, Achun, Shiba. As long as it's still present in any one of the three sub-regions within a region, you can still eat it throughout that region. So let's say you have in Yehuda, you have region number one, region number two, and region number three. So if it's no longer present in region number one, no longer present in sub-region number two, but it's still present in sub-region number three, so then any place, including sub-region one and sub-region two in Yehuda, are still allowed to eat that type of produce. That's the Chiddush, this is the way Rashi understands this. Tosos in the Dibra Maskel Ad Sheyichala says, I don't understand Rashi. Pirusha Kuntras, Ashet Techalo Achrona, Shabbat Sosel. It's the last one within its sub region, so you still can eat it. And we view all three of them together as being identical. So Yehuda, subregion 1, subregion 2, subregion 3, we don't view a difference between them. So Tosa says, I don't understand. They don't near it. Doesn't make any sense. Dim Einon Chalukos, Lamashon, Shalosh Arzot, Bukolachas. He says, I don't understand. If they're all identical, so then what difference does it make that they're three subregions? We treat them all the same, so why are you telling me this information about three subregions? So there's ways to understand Rashi, why that's necessary. And Tosfos has a different way of understanding. He says, the Kachli Yishlomar, the Achron Sheba, Hainu Peros Shebahar, Achichala Achron Shebahar. He says that within all the three regions, we look at the mountains versus the valleys versus the plains all together. So he looks at all the three regions together from those points of view. Okay, Tosfos has a different understanding than Rashi. We'll learn it simple like Rashi. Now, the Gemara asks, how do you know that we treat an entire region the same? How do we know that Yehuda, whether it's subregion 1, subregion 2, subregion 3, as long as there's still something present, we treat them all the same? So Gemara says, Amar Chama Baruch for Amar Yossi Bechanina. Chama Baruch says the name of Yossi Bechanina, based upon the Pasuk, Amar Kra, it says, Vlehem Decho Velachaya Shebriyat Secha. It says, as long as you have animals and chayos that are in your land, Shebriyat Secha, that you can go and still eat the Shemitah fruits. Which means, the Gemara says, as long as the Chaya and the Behema are still able to eat the fruit, so then you can give it to them in the house. In other words, you can use it yourself. However, but if the animals in the field don't have it anymore, so then it's also, even if you have some stored in your house, then you can't have it in your house as well. And we have a Masorah from our previous Rabbanim, the Ein Chaya Sheb Yehuda Gedela Perish Begalil, that the animals that live in Yehuda don't travel to the Galil to go eat fruits over there. That's why Yehuda is considered subregion 1, subregion 2, subregion 3 is one separate entity. Ein Chaya Sheb Begalil, likewise, the same thing applies. The animals that live in the Galil, Gedela Perish Yehuda, they don't come down to Yehuda and eat their fruits. This is a Kabbalah. This is what we have. So Rashi points out, Mesorah Me'avosenu, that these facts are the correct facts. And therefore, that's why we divide it up into these three territories, these three regions. Now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, we learned in the Braisa, Peros Yotzu Me'eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz. You're not supposed to take Peros from Eretz Yisrael that are Shemitah Peros and bring them to Chutz La'aretz. There's a question whether this is only L'schora for business purposes or for eating purposes. They're two different girsos as to which one is applicable. And then we also have the possibility that it was brought out. Beshogeg, Tosa says, the bottom Tosa is the very last words. He says, the Yesh over here, a possibility, inami b'shoge kotsir, that it was taken out by accident. So even if you're not allowed to take it out, but now after the fact, what do you do? So that's what the Brisa is talking about. Perish yotsu me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz l'aretz. You have, bottom line, shmita fruits that are outside in chutz l'aretz. So what do you have to do? So the Tanakhama says, Miss Barin b'chol mokum shem. You don't have to come back to Eretz Yisrael. You can do the beer process. Again, we've spoken previously, mentioned many times. Not clear exactly what the beer process is. You have multiple shitos. Some say it actually means to destroy it. Others say it just means to take it out of your house. Others say you have to make it hefker. Whatever you have to do, you don't have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. This mizbarin is allowed to be done b'chol mokum shem. You can do it in chutz l'aretz. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama in this brisa. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, yachzru l'mekol mam. You have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. And then, v'yisbaru, you do the beer process in Eretz Yisrael. Why is this? Because he says, v'shum shenema, because the pasuk says, b'artzecha, you have to do this in your land. So therefore, it must be actually done, the beer, in your land. Mor says, but wait a second, we use the words b'artzecha already for a drasha. We just wrote down that we said, that was to teach us the shkos man shechayu chalas ben asad. As long as the animals can eat in the field, so then it's bi'artzecha, it's in the fields, so then you're allowed to eat in your house. But if they can't eat it in the fields, bi'artzecha, so then you can't eat in the house. So we need this drasha for something else. Ha'afik tzei, the Gemara says, I'm already using this drasha, so how can you use it twice? So we have two terutzim. Gemara says, kari bei ba'aretz. It could have said, v'chayu asher ba'aretz. It says, bi'artzecha, to teach us both. It teaches that as long as it's still around for the chayis to eat, then you can eat it. And it also teaches us that it has to be burned, the beer process has to be in Eretz Yisrael. Alternatively, it's from the extra word asher. Inami, me'asher bi'artzecha. So bi'artzecha teaches us that as long as the animals can eat it. And asher teaches us it must be done in Eretz Yisrael. Now the word says, we have three Amorayim, they're all Tamidim of Rabbi Avo. That's an important piece of information. Rashi points it out, and that will help us understand the story. So these three Tamidim, Rav Safra, Rav Huna, Berei de Ravika, and Rav Kahana were sitting around talking, and Rav Safra, Nofak Me'eretz Yisrael, the Chutz Laretz, when they went from Eretz Yisrael, they went to Chutz Laretz, and somebody went to Babel, and Havi Bahadei, Garbo de Chamra de Shvias, and he had with him a jug of wine that was Shemitah wine. Now, it wasn't yet Asur to drink this Shemitah wine because there were still grapes in Eretz Yisrael, where he brought it from. So, Lavu Bahadei, Rav Huna, Berei de Ravika, Rav Kahana. Along with him, when he went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, he was with his other friends. He was with the great Rav Huna Brei Ravika and Rav Kahana. So Rav Safra asked them, what's the din? Do I have to go and bring this back to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe it would be on the beer, and I have to go bring it back to Eretz Yisrael and do the beer process in Eretz Yisrael? Like the opinion we just brought down of Rav Shimon Elazar. And is that the halacha? Or maybe not. Do I'm allowed to burn it over here, like the Tanakhama. So that's what he asked to his two colleagues. Rav Safra asked him, Amar Lahu, what's the halacha? Iko de Shmiel le minei de Rabbi Avo. Did any of you hear from our Rebbe? Rashi points out again, as I said before, that they all were Talmidim of Rabbi Avo. So he said to the other two colleagues, did either of you hear what Rabbi Avo, our Rebbe, said about this halacha? Did he say halacha ke Rav Shimon Elazar? Hello. Do we pass him like the Tanakhama or like Rav Shimon Elazar? So first Rav Kahana speaks up. Amalei Rav Kahana speaks up and he says, I heard Rabbi Avo say that the halacha is Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that we in fact make you go back to Eretz Yisrael like Rabbi Shimon Elazar said. On the other hand, Amalei Rav Huna Brei Ravika, he said, no, I heard the opposite. Hachim Rabbi Avo, I heard the Rabbi Avo paskin ain't halacha Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So we have a difference of opinion as to what the Rabbi Avo said. Rav Kahana said, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and Rav Huna Brei Ravika said, we don't paskin. So which one should we follow? So Amar Rav Safra, so Rav Safra said, I'm going to follow the lenient opinion of Rav Huna Brei Ravika. Why is that? He says, Nekot ha klola de Rav Huna b'yodcha. I'm going to follow the lenient opinion that Rav Huna says, our Rebbe, Rabbi Avo said, because Rav Huna Brei Ravika is always very, very careful. The dayik v'gomer shmaisasa mipum de Rabbe. He's always very careful to make sure that he gets it right. Rashi points out, as soon as Rabbi Avo would say something, he would go and ask Rabbi Avo to say it again. And this way we know, yes or no, what he actually said. So he would ask him to always repeat it. And therefore, Rav Safra says, Rav Huna Brei Ravika has the more accurate understanding or remembrance of what Rabbi Avo said. And he says that just like Rav Huna Brei Ravika was very careful, he was less like Kirachba, Rachab was the name of Talmud Chacham, who lived in Pumbedisa. The Pumbedisa was also very, very careful to say things exactly the way his Rebbe said. The Omer, give us an example, the Omer Rachba, Omer Rav Yehuda, that Rachba said the name of Rav Yehuda, Rashi points out, that's the whole question. Was it Rabbi Yehuda Nesia or Rav Yehuda? Safi Shmua, may Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Yehuda Nesia. They were both contemporaries, the Habunami, Bahaudara. They both lived at the same time. And Rachba wasn't certain which one it was, and therefore he said it in a way that it could possibly accommodate both Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda Nesia. And what did he say it about? He said, Harabayis, Stav Kofel Hoya. He said, in the Harabayis, up on the Beis HaMikdash area, the benches were set up in a double row. Stav Kofel Hoya, Stav Lifnim Mistav. You had a row of benches, and then around it, another row of benches. Rashi elsewhere tells us that it's Medavka used this funny Lashon of Stav, rather than using the more commonly used Lashon of Itztaba. So therefore, that's why he was medactic to say it exactly like the Lashon of his Rebbe. Bottom line is, we're saying that Rav Huna Brei de Rav Ika, Rav Safra said, is also careful in repeating things exactly, just like Rachba Pumbedisa was very careful to repeat things. On the other hand, Rav Yosef wasn't happy about this. Correlate Rav Yosef said about Rav Safra, Ami b'eitzo yishol umaklo yagidlo. It's a play on the word maklo. It means his stick, but it means he's makel. Kol ha-makel lo, magidlo. If somebody's a leaning opinion, he says, we're going to follow that opinion. So apparently Rav Yosef is not so happy that Rav Safra chose to follow the opinion of Huna Brei de Rav Ika, that Rav Yavol was lenient, as opposed to the opinion of Rav Kahana that said that Rav Yavol had possibly like the more stringent opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Eloi, katz kafnioso de shvias. Rabbi Eloi was cutting down in the Shemitah year, a tree that had fruits on it. Now, it had kafnios on it. Rashi explains that these kafnios are dekelton kafnios. It's a palm tree that has these kafnios on it. And what are kafnios? Him tvarim kitanim. They're unripened small dates. Shelo bishul. Haven't ripened yet. The katzas hadekel. He cut down the tree for firewood. Ate him. The hifsid kafnios. And as a result, he destroyed the kafnios. Now, why is that a problem? The Gemara says, hechi ovid hachi. How is Rabbi Eloi allowed to go cut down this tree? After all, the pasuk tells us, li ochlo, you're only allowed to eat perishvias, omrechbona, velo lehefsid, but you're not allowed to cause the destruction of perishmita's fruits. You're going to tell me, v'chitema, hani mi lehecho, denochis lepeira. You're going to tell me that that's only if they're already considered fruits. As Rashi says, perish nigmar, also lefsid, only ripened fruits, it's also to go and destroy them. But if they're not yet ripened, like the kafnios, so then you can go destroy them. Aval hecho, de lo nochis lepeira, lo? No, that's not true. Amar Rabbi Nachman, Amar Rabbi Barbuah, Rabbi Nachman said name Rabbi Barbuah, hani maschele de orlo asiri. Now maschele de orlo, Rashi tells us, are the shomer. It's the protective husk or peel hagadol sivos satmar that grows around these dates that are only present bekatnon when they're very immature and young, like the kafnios. Kein pikas hagadol sivos egozi yar hadakos. It's like this pikas, which is also some sort of husk or shell that grows around this egozi yar, these wild egozim that are very small. So it says here specifically that these maschle di orla, they're the shells, the husk over here of the orla fruit, and it's only present when it's very, very young, are usher. You're not allowed to go and eat them as orla. Now, hold, v'nasu shomer l'peri, because they are considered already as being a shomer of the peri, and therefore they're considered like a peri, and therefore you're not allowed to eat them. V'shomer l'peri, emes habit. Now, what are we talking about that it's a shomer l'peri? It's only when it's in the immature state, b'kufri. And yet, v'korelu peri, and we see that it's called peri. So, Kasha, how can you tell me that you're allowed to cut down the kafnios, this tree with the deckel tree, when it has kafnios on it, you're destroying these immature fruits. And you can't tell me that immature fruits don't count as fruits. You see here, clearly it does. So Gemara says, how did Rav Nachman say this? Rav Nachman, he held the Omek Rav Yossi. He held like Rav Yossi. What is that? It's not. Because we learned in the Mishnah in our law, it says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Smodar, if you have an immature grape, is also Mishu Peri. Even though it's immature in the stage, it is still considered a grape. It is halachically considered a grape, and therefore, if it's in that stage of Smodar, you're not allowed to eat it because it's Arla. It's growing in the first 3 years. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. O Pligi, Rabbi Onalei. But that's only the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua, held like this opinion, that in the immature state, the husk is considered a fruit, a shell of an immature fruit, because the immature fruits he held like Rav Yossi are considered fruits. Upligi, Rabbi Onalei, but the rabbis disagree. So therefore, Rav Nachman and Rabbi Avuah held like this opinion of Rav Yossi, but the Chacham disagree. Gemara says, whoa, maskip lo rishimi meradai. He says, really? Umi pligi rabban alei de Rabbi Yossi bishari lanos? Do they argue about this? Is there really a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi in regards to these immature fruits? I'll show you that that's not true. Well, tonight we learned in another Mishnah in Shviyas, it says over there, me'em asai en kotesin es ho'ilonos b'shviyas. When are you not allowed to cut down trees in Shemitah year? Because they're considered already fruit-bearing trees. And the fruits are not allowed to be destroyed. La'ochlo lo lehefsit. So when is that true? So Beshama Yomrim, they say, that any tree, as soon as there's something that's coming forth, there's a slight little bud, that's it. They're now called the fruit tree, and therefore, you're not allowed to destroy the fruit. That's the opinion of Beshama, very machmir. Or Beshama Yomrim, no, depends on the tree. Depends on what you're dealing with. Hacharuvim, a carob tree, Misha Yisharishiru. When it has, over here, Rashi says these chains. If you look in Rashi, he says, Mishiyaru ben ke'en sharsharo shacharuvim. It's like when you have chains over here of the boxer, of the caribs. That's the point that they're considered fruit. Vagafanim, in regards to a grapevine, the grapes, we turn to Nugim Olamad Aleph, Mishiyagariyu. That's when they reach the stage of, Rashi says, Mishigadlu ha'novim kitzas. They've grown a little bit. Vinikru girua, and now they're called the girua stage. And this is the shear of kipul ha'lovim, the size of a certain type of a bean. Now, Vazesim, the Mishnah continues, tells us, when are they considered significant? Mishianitsu, when they have the nates developing. Rashi says, Mishiyagdil ha'nates alehen vuke'en maschile. That's like the little husks that come out around the fruits. Bedomelo brochos ha'pit mosherimo. It's like the pitum of a rimon, of a pomegranate. It's considered over here mitzdarif, v'nates lo eno mitzdarif. So the pitum is mitzdarif, but the nates of the rimon is not mitzdarif. In any event, so this zesim is when they reach this certain stage of shiyanitsu. So all of these, the carob, the grape, and the olive, it's not just when they bud like Beis Shammai, but they need to develop a little bit more. Ushar kolo ilonos, but all the other trees, other than the boxer, the grape, and the olive, so mishar kol ilonos, mishiyotziu, Beis Hillel is molded to Beis Shammai, that even if there's a little bit, V'amar Ravasi said, who boser, this part of the grape known as the boser, is also known as the stage of girua. They're the same thing. Boser and girua are the same thing. And it's all the same as who pol alovim. It's the same as a bean. Gemara says, what are you talking about, a bean? That's not a grape. Pol alovim salkadaitach? So Gemara says, yeah, we didn't mean the bean itself. Ela ema shiuro ki pol alovim. That it's the same size as this pol alovim. But the bottom line is, we see that boser and girua are the same. They're both the size of a pol alovim. And yet they're called over here a fruit. But Rav Yossi had said that it was a smaller stage, it was an earlier stage. So we see that now, Uman Shamis Law, the Yoma Boser in Smother Law. Who's the one that said the Boser stage? Yes, but the Smother stage? No. That's the Rabbanan. V'ktani Shar Kol Ilonos Mishi Yotziu. In all other trees, it would be even if they just had a little bit of a bud. Bottom line, how can you tell me over here that Rabbi Loi is allowed to cut down the tree? You see, even in this stage, when they're in the kafnios, this very early stage, it's still considered a fruit. And Bishar Kol Ilonos, including the kafnios, is only a machlokas over here in between the grape, the carob, and the olive. But in all other Ilonos, that early stage is considered something significant. So how could Rabbi Loi cut down this kafnios, this dekel that had the kafnios on it? So where it says, you're right. Ela Rabbi Loi, benishchone katz. He didn't cut down a fruit-bearing palm tree, but he cut down nischoni. Rashi explains the nischoni is talking about tvarim shodeko zohar. It's a male tree. What does that mean? Vein misbashlun bo olomis. The fruit on it will never, ever mature. The godrin osom benisan, and they will go and harvest it at nisan, vein misbashlos mealeim, bekli, kapos tomorrow. It would only become mature after you took them off from the tree. And they stayed very, very small. And therefore, Hilkach, Rabbi Loi said, Lo ifsid midi, said, when you cut them down on this tree, they don't have the status of being a fruit. And that's why Rabbi Loi said, I'm allowed to go cut down these palm trees when they only have kafnios on them. Now, I know the last piece was a little bit hard, a little bit difficult. It's Hashem, chazer it over. And with this, we conclude today's shir. We'll pick up again fresh here, discussing more about the halachos of Biur tomorrow.